Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I continue our discussion with state champions, and joining me today is a state champion from Connecticut, the head football coach at Greenwich High School, John Marinelli. Coach, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Hey, Keith, I appreciate you having me back. It's great to be here.
Coach, as we got going and talked a little bit before we got on the podcast, and for our listeners out there, John has been on before, so we're going to skip over the coaching journey part of this, which we usually talk about, and we're going to get right into some things that made a difference for Coach. But Coach thinks of himself as an old school coach with a new school mentality. Can you explain that to us, John?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with my dad being a head coach, and we actually played each other in a state championship game this year, so it was a interesting dynamic. But I grew up, and before I was born, he was a longtime coach and a longtime head coach, and he continued his path, and I've watched and learned from him. And he's old school. He handles kids the right way. He does everything the right way. And so when I came up to, end up coaching with him, it was just a matter of, taking all the things that I've learned and trying to spin it to the new technologies, new ways to handle kids, and especially today's day and age. So, that old school thought process, the old school right way to do things, and, just kind of turn it into, modern day kids and how they need to be handled, treated, and, what you have to do to be successful with high school kids.
John, you had been a part of state championships before. You won three as an assistant coach, were in two other finals, and this is your first as a head coach. And looking back at this, you mentioned to me that off-season was a big part of the success behind this. Off-season is a time where you're able to accomplish a lot of things for you. What was the focus the past off-season and the things that really made a difference to your state championship run?
Yeah, I say the small things. Obviously, everyone has an off-season lifting program and conditioning and all the things that you need in order to get kids, mentally, prepared and physically prepared for. But, for us, it was discipline. We felt, after losing the state championship game, and it was just a matter of our own mistakes kind of led to a loss. And we took, that philosophy of discipline and just tried to instill it into being on time, getting your foot behind the line, and really harping on the small things and not letting, the small things linger, and getting the class on time, making sure we're at team meals on time and everything like that. And for us, like, that was one of the biggest differences. And we were not heavily penalized this year. We didn't hurt ourselves. We didn't turn the ball over. We didn't really miss that many tackles on defense and special teams. It's all of it is transferable and relatable to what you're trying to do on the field. When you really harp on, the small things off the field. And for us, that was our off season. Obviously, we work hard. Our guys were in the weight room and they were doing everything that we put on the schedule for them to do. And so the hard work is there, but now you got to kind of, turn that into, with that hard work, what are you trying to accomplish? Because it's you got to have a goal, a mission, and it can't just be to win football games. And especially with high school kids, you got to give them more things to focus on a daily basis. And the smallest thing, like discipline and being on time, were the keys for us to having fewer penalties and fewer turnovers and fewer missed tackles and fewer mistakes.
I think a lot of coaches out there are doing a great job right now and understanding what needs to be done in the weight room and looking at best practices. So in a lot of ways, you'll see a lot of similar things that people do, whether it's the amount of days per week that they work out, what's up on that board or on that sheet, or for some people on that app that their players are going to do. But you mentioned the little things that you're going to give each day, because it's easy to go in and, in January and sit down and talk about all these ideas and intangibles and give those to your players and, here's what we're about in 2019. But like you mentioned, you have to do that. It's incremental. It's like practice. You can't just throw those words out there to those kids and expect, okay, I'm going to I'm going to get on board, I'm going to do all these things. You actually have to go out and practice those. So how do you put some of those quote-unquote intangibles into practice in the off season?
Well, you know, you do it by word of mouth, obviously. I mean, it's the way to do it, and it's how you do it that makes the most impact on the kids. So, you know, you incorporate small competition lifts in the weight room. You incorporate small competitive races when you're doing conditioning and little things like that. And it's a matter of not just football and off season and in the weight room, but it's all right, who showed up on class? Who do we have a team attendance, like full team attendance in school today? Did anyone miss the class? Did anyone, you know, who was late to class? And incorporating all the other aspects. You know, we have a charity event. Everyone show up to the charity event. Who's helping out the young kids? It's so much more incorporated. I don't think there's one particular thing that you do, but obviously, you know, we don't want to just talk about it. We want to be about it, to take a term I think a lot of coaches use. And so that's kind of the way that we handle our and conduct our business in the off season. It's we hold our kids accountable. We want them to let them know they're being watched, and you know, there's consequences for every action. And most of the time people say that, you know, they hear consequences and they hear they take it as a negative term. Well, we also, there's consequences for positive actions, and there's good consequences when you act the right way and handle it the right way. So I think you have to reward kids for doing the things you're asking them to do. And you also have to, you know, make sure they understand that if they're not doing the right things, that they're being held accountable, especially in the off season. I think that's the most important, because when the season starts, we just want to, you know, concentrate on football, and the little things should have already been, you shouldn't have to coach the little things like showing up on time and all those, you know, things that we as coaches do kind of, you know, as a default. And, you know, you can really teach that in the off season. So when your season starts, you know, you can just concentrate on football and knowing that everybody's on the same page and the expectations are already set because of your off season and the way that you handled it and built your off season plan. And, you know, we lift 4 days a week in the off season. We have conditioning twice a week too. So, and getting kids into multiple sports, and a lot of kids playing, you know, especially in the spring, we have a ton of lacrosse and baseball players and track athletes right now too. So those kids are on a different plan, but, you know, that's the most important thing to handle is making sure your kids are being held accountable wherever they are, in season, out of season, and things of that nature.
I like that you mentioned, you know, tardy to school, who's in school today, and both holding them accountable as well as celebrating some of those victories. I can think back to a program I took over, and it was late. It was, I think, May or June when I was named the head coach. And, you know, today, you know, you see how many tardies these kids have to school, or tardies to classes, or how many times they've missed school. And, you know, it was a little bit tougher. We were on it during the season, but we knew when we hit the off season, that was going to be a big focus of not only just getting those guys to our lifting on time, but getting them to school and forming those good habits that we felt really could carry over. So, you know, and everybody does the off season competitions and stuff, but we made that a big part of it and made it a focus and made a difference. And you think about, you know, overall when you're helping, especially your administration with some of those things like that and getting kids into school, it's a good thing. Not just for the football team, it's good for the whole community as well. Talk to me a little bit about that concept, since you brought it up, of how you guys would, I think the tracking is easy, but go about, you know, holding them accountable and especially the other side of it too, because we always talk about accountability. We got to celebrate some of those victories as well.
Yeah, so the first thing we did was, and we took our team, so we have 150 athletes right now, 9 through 11, that are in our off-season conditioning program or in other sports. So what we're trying to do there is we broke it up into three teams. We took our newly elected captains and a couple other seniors, made them leaders, and we broke them down to three teams. So those teams are competing against each other, and those teams are holding each other accountable. So now it's not just the captains that are being the only voices for the entire team and the coaches that are trying to get the kids in the weight room, but it's the kids on those teams, and we're tracking weight room attendance, we're tracking class attendance and absences and all that stuff is being built into like a little game that we play in the off season. And, you know, the winning team will get something. And, but because of that, we're building leadership within those teams. And each of those teams, you have junior leaders, sophomore leaders, and senior leaders. And who's not there? Who is there? Who's holding the team back? Because at the end of the day, 5-yard penalty on a touchdown pass is a 5-yard penalty that negates a touchdown. So one person does, one bad thing, just like football, it's you need all 11 on the same page. It doesn't matter what the individual does if he's not helping the team or doing his job. So that being related back and then putting those situations into layman's terms so that kids understand that when you go late to a class, it looks bad, not just on you, but on the team, on the program. And then that player presents it, that teacher has a negative connotation all of a sudden on that player. And then maybe the team, if it keeps on happening, we don't want that reputation. We want our football players to be, the pillars of excellence in the hallways. We want them to be, sitting up front row in class, not being the class clowns, and, taking notes, always being prepared, and having, it's just like a small thing is notebooks, like having a clean notebook, a well-organized notebook. And, those small things like that are ways that we kind of track it. And for the teams that do have, the right, they're doing all the right things and they're getting the points, they are rewarded. And, we try to make sure we praise them, and the teams that aren't doing well, we try to make sure we get them to that point so they can understand, why all those small things are important. Those are ways that we're trying to do it. It's always a, each and every year you kind of come up with a new system and plan, and, that's what we're doing this year.
Before we go into what Coach calls Patriot game planning, I want to make you aware of some resources we have out there. We've partnered with Focus 3, and we have their virtual training, which is at usafootball.com/Focus3. Focus 3 is the group that worked with Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes when they won their national championship. If you read the book Above the Line, you read a lot about what Focus 3 did for them. And what we've done with Focus 3 is put together a system with R-Factor and Lead Now, two systems for developing your culture and leadership. Again, check those out at usafootball.com/focus3. Let's get back to our conversation with Coach Marinelli. Coach, your offseason, a big part of it is this idea of establishing their ability to learn as well. So learn those little things. And then being able to apply that really to develop that football IQ or the learning out on the field, because it's going to be a big part of, what you talked to me about. You called it Patriot game planning, that you guys are going to have the ability to do some things because these kids are ready to learn and apply some different concepts. You don't have guys out there just running lines, robots. You have guys who can adapt and understand week to week, how to build upon what they've already done.
Yeah, Patriot game planning is what, I've called it, just because they seem to change offensively, defensively, and special teams to, when they're playing an opponent for, an element of attack and surprise. And, so the way that we game plan as coaches is, no matter who we're playing, we have new installs, we have new things come up, and we want to make sure that our kids are paying attention and learning it. And that starts in the off season with all the things that we're making them do, and trying to get them to understand, and that football IQ and learning how to adjust on the fly. It's the kids, the old school thought is we do what we do and we're going to do what we do best. If the other team stops us, then we're going down that way. But my philosophy is we do what we do, but we're going to try to have a bunch of different things off of it to make sure that we're giving our kids the most chance of success, just in case the other team is, more prepared than we are, better than we are, or however it is. We got to find ways to put our kids in successful situations. And that's our off season, find ways to put kids in successful situations in the weight room and in the conditioning in the classroom. So we're just taking what we do off the field and we're putting it on the field. The season goes on, the more you've kind of tested their knowledge and IQ, you'll figure out like what kind of team you have, especially by midpoint, and what you can and can't do. And you kind of know okay, that play's not going to work, or this off-season concept isn't going to work because our kids aren't ready for it yet, or so on and so forth. So all that stuff is encompassing into what we're trying to do and build as a program, and they change it every year, because every year you have different personalities, new culture that the seniors build, and that's the fun part about high school football.
Coach, I'm sure you had more examples of things that worked that didn't work in a season like this. Can you give us an example of something that would fit into that concept of what you call Patriot game planning, a specific example that, you did something this week and then next week you're able to tweak that and make it a little bit more different and put stress on the other team?
Yeah, I mean, we had a great year. We had a lot of really good players. So we're trying to get the most out of those guys, and we're trying to put them in situations to be successful. So we ran a lot of different formations this year. There was times where we were in one formation for 1 week and we didn't run it for another 4 weeks, but it was our best formation when we used it that week. So it's building your playbook as the season goes on, right? Everyone has a playbook of whatever, however long it is. Like, we have our base offense, and every coach doesn't share the entire playbook with the team, I hope, because it's too much for your kids. So what we did was, is we took simple run concepts with our RPO game, and we formationed the same run game with different formations of window dressing, different motions, and we used different guys. And that was, for us, was the most telling, is that we can do these four run plays, but we can build it off of, five, six, seven, eight formations and have different tags off of it. And when you have kids that can adjust, especially the quarterback that can adjust and learn and know exactly what you're doing, it's extremely helpful, especially in the state playoffs. We kind of held some things back. We showed for the first time, and as we practiced it, and we didn't really use all of it, but we just went back as a coaching staff and recycled some of the things that we practiced but never saw or never showed, and then the teams never saw. And that was a huge, huge help for us, is that we can just come out in a new formation and know it and come out and do it right away. So for us, it was probably a formation game with all the different types of personnel groups that we had, which we had a year that was special. I don't know if we'll have a year like that again, but with the amount of personnel groupings and talent we had on offense and defense. But when you can do that, it's pretty special.
And I've talked on this podcast with some pretty well-known offensive coordinators. And I think of, Phil Longo, who talked about how his playbook at home was taller than he was, but that's not what he's giving to his players. And it kind of struck a chord there. And I know both he and Noel Mazzoni have similar philosophies in how they're going to put a game plan together, and especially how they're going to keep it something that's concise. Noel talks specifically about, August camp, when all this is installed, these guys are learning a lot of terminology. They're learning a lot of the structure. But as he gets going and they get going with things, and I don't know if this is part of what folds in your philosophy, he says he gives them the Cliff Notes version. So something that was a very long call, for example, and he's speaking of like one words, he could turn that into a one word call and be very efficient with what he's doing. Where's your philosophy in terms of how you're going to be, like you said, like the Patriots, that it looks like you guys are doing a ton of stuff, but really it's the same concepts over and over with what you called window dressing?
We're throwing the whole thing at them for the most part. We're in preseason. We're trying to, because every team's a different personality, and who do you, it's, and by that I mean you have kids that can understand certain things and others. So what does the 11 understand the most of instead of the individual? So we throw the whole playbook at them for the most part in preseason. We're trying to get them to do different formations and see how fast they can pick it up. From there, we start subtracting. So day one, the first week is install. And then from there, the next couple of weeks of preseason, you're just trying to continue to advance and advance and advance. And then you get to the first game week or 10 days before the game, and now you start to subtract things. You start to fine tune things that, okay, this is what they've shown that they understand and are good at. This is, things that haven't looked terrible. They haven't adjusted to yet. And sometimes you just haven't spent enough time on it than others you have, but you start subtracting. So you get into game week and you take what your team has looked the best at in preseason. You build your offense around what they're comfortable with. And every year it changes. Sometimes it's, it's zone schemes. Sometimes it's three-man pressures. Three-on-three pressures. On defense and special teams is probably the most consistent one. But even with your return game, that can definitely change. What kind of returners do you have? Do you have guys that can get after and block balls? What kind of kicker do you have? And coverage teams. I mean, everything. We just try to throw as much as we can at them, and then kind of sit back, draw back, and then watch film and say, okay, this is what we want to do moving forward. This is where our kids are comfortable. Let's build around, these parts of our games, because this is going to make us the most successful. So I would say very similar to those two guys, because you got to understand, some kids, no matter how much you coach it, they're never going to be able to get it, especially in high school. So you have to take what they're good at, and you have to adjust your playbook to what your kids can handle and do best.
Coach, when you're looking week to week, how much you're going to carry, what parameters do you have for what can go into a game plan, how much you can carry into that game plan?
Defensively, I'd say, it really depends on the team you have too. But defensively, if you have a smart team, you can have a number of blitzes, 10, I would say. Then you have like your three that are really good, and you have your seven, like game planning, attacking their protections or whatever you're doing. Offensively, we try to limit it to three run plays, maybe a fourth that we practice if we, kind of like an adjustment run at halftime that we've practiced and we can always use. Four drop back game and screens are always fully go. So, and then probably like five to six different RPO schemes that we're using to attack the secondary and leverage of the defense. But we try to keep it simple so we can play fast and have those one word plays. And I think when you can do that at practice, you realize your kids start to understand it. So no matter what the team is doing offensively, defensively, or special teams wise, our kids have an understanding. And that's why I say, like, we do what we do, but we'll adjust it and window dress it. So we'll do four concepts out of however many different formations that we can, think of that week that gives us the best, success and, the different fronts and leverages that you can do and coverages and disguises and the defensive side of the ball that you can do that's going to just confuse them enough to give you a little bit of an edge. So we do have a menu and we try to stick to it, but it really depends on the type of team you have. A smart team, a veteran team will give you a lot more opportunity to get more exotic with some of the things you want to do. A young team, you probably have to draw back a little bit. And as a coach, I think that's probably the hardest thing to do, is because you know that certain things can work, but you just don't know if your team is ready or mentally capable of handling that stuff you throw at them, just because they're young and inexperienced. And, you have to base it off of the type of kids and the personnel you have.
Coach, you've been a part of several state championships. As we said, this is your first as a head coach. And as a head coach, you have to get beyond thinking about your Patriot game planning, thinking about all of those things that you're doing on the field, and manage everything that's happening off the field, because those things actually can make a big difference to your season. And you had mentioned this, that was a big part of this championship run, was being able to manage the grades with these guys, their classes, their social life, different things that are happening off the field. All of those things, as a head coach, you were really working to keep your guys focused and going in the right direction, being aligned and not getting distracted by all the other things that are happening outside of football.
Yeah, my job as a head coach is to handle all that and let my coaches coach. And that's where having a great staff comes in, and having guys that really understand what it's all about. And, managing kids going to class and holding them accountable for being late or missing class. We have a school rule. You're not allowed to practice if you don't make to all classes. And we get a report at the end of each school day, late, tardy. And, we monitor their grades. And, when progress reports come out and grades come out, it's even more so than that. Like, we have all of our kids on an academic platform where we can see their grades and get notified on bad grades. And when you have a veteran team that was as smart as ours, you walk into the office before practice and you see some of our senior National Honor Society kids working with some of the kids that are struggling in school, and you're that's when you know you have something special, is when you don't have to tell kids that they, you know, to get these kids help, and they're doing it on their own, and they're using each other, and the leadership that I believe that through our off season and all the things that we do have made this culture that kids aren't afraid to ask for help to each other. That's when you know you're going to be really good. And when our coaches are harping, you know, to their position groups on grades and everything, I mean, it's the old school thought was like, don't talk about fumbling because then they'll fumble. don't talk about grades because then, you know, they'll start thinking about it and get bad grades. Like, hey, bring it up in a way where kids can understand and feel comfortable about talking about some of the things they're not good at, and you know, have kind of a sense of humor, and kids will open up a little bit more about some of the issues that they're having in life and socially, grades, academically, whatever it is. But as a head coach, my job was to take all of that and kind of shield it from our kids in a way where they could just focus when they got the football on football. It's the greatest oasis. It's, you know, when they walk out to practice, everything else kind of stops outside. You know, we'll figure it out after practice or after the game or after that game week. But, you know, that's what we want our kids to do. And as a head coach, that's what our jobs are, is really to allow our kids to the opportunity to not have to worry about what's going on in the outside world. And when they're at football, it's the greatest time of their lives.
And that's not always an easy thing. I mean, things happen that are unexpected. You have to adjust in a lot of ways, sometimes without notice because you didn't see it coming up and, you know, nobody saw it coming up. You have to help your players through those situations, sometimes individually, sometimes it affects the whole group. A head coach really has to take on that task, and that's not always the easiest thing to do.
No, and, you know, we had some issues that happened this year, and, you know, a couple of deaths in our community and, you know, through our playoff run. And, you know, when you have a great senior leadership, it makes the head coach's job a lot easier. And, you know, just recognizing that there's tragedy or something that's happening and not turning away from it, not pretending like it doesn't exist, but acknowledging it and having kids talk about it. That's when your senior leadership and the leaders of your team really have to step up and help the others, because, you know, although it directly impacted one of your players or someone in the community, it indirectly, you know, definitely affects everybody, and some more than others. And so managing and the different personalities and the different types of youth that we have now, it's something that we just got to be extra careful of to make sure that everybody's no one can hide from it. You want to make it sure that they acknowledge it, you know, talk to people, make sure that they're, you know, they know that they have people in their corner. Some of the times they just want a coach that they can play for, knowing that, you know, that guy cares about not just him as a player or an athlete, but as him as a person and all the things that are going on in their lives. And whether or not that coach understands it is not important, but just the coach acknowledging, you know, that there are issues that exist outside the game and sport and season, and taking the time during the season to really acknowledge it and talk to kids and make sure that they're feeling good about themselves and that they always have somewhere to go is probably, you know, the most overlooked thing of coaching, especially in high school now.
Coach, flipping the switch here a little bit and focusing back on the football, as you look back on this past year, from an X and O perspective, whether that's offense or defense, what would be one play or defense you could share with us? And you have that imaginary whiteboard. We're talking here, so we kind of have to be good explaining here so we get a visual. But a play that you really liked and you felt like was a big part of helping your guys' success on the field.
Well, we had an incredible defensive line this year. We had not big bodies, but we had really athletic, tremendous motors and loved contact type of bodies. And you know, some of the things we did with the line stunts of, you know, the typical tech style stunts, but also like we call it like patient stunts, where, you know, we set and stunt and we set and try to get offensive linemen to stunt. And we, you know, we set and stunt again and then bring a linebacker, and just the different ways that we brought pressure on the defensive side of the ball through the patient stunting. It was something that kind of opened our eyes, and I don't know if we could do it with different personnel, but because of the personnel we had, and we kind of fell into it in practice, and But we were so athletic and fast up front that we were able to get guys involved in, on the defensive line and linebackers. And in the pass pressure game, that was like some of the stuff we were doing. Like it was really fun to watch. We were so athletic, and we had a couple All-State kids up front, and our linebacking core was extremely veteran. You know, those, that patient style stunting and bringing the blitz off of it was something that really put defenses. And because we had two terrific corners that are going to go play college football, we really limited the field kind of between the hash marks. And that was one of an advantage for us with the veteran linebacking core we had and our safeties. We were just very, very talented on the defensive side of the ball this year. So we were able to get pretty exotic with some of our stuff, but use that patient stunting to really affect what the offensive wanted to do and limit them to really one part of the field, which was hash to hash.
I think those things are a bear to handle really at any level, but especially high school, those what you call patient type of stunts, because you want that offensive line to move, get engaged, and take their eyes away from somebody who's supposed to be a key for them, right? And really, I think being patient, it involves both sides. If you have an offensive line who's disciplined, patient, he can keep his eyes on your guy as the other guy's moving, you're able to shut those down. But we see really at the high school level, I think both sides of that are difficult. What's the key to, you know, really teaching those linebackers to be patient and let the windows open before they trigger? Because timing on the field always works different than timing in practice. Those guys' clocks speed up significantly. So if they show right away, you're going to have somebody come off and block you. So what were some of the key teaching points for you to be able to accomplish that and run some of those, what you call, patient stunts?
Well, that's why we called it patient stunts. So we wanted to get into those guys' heads. It's like, hey, you got to be patient. You got to make sure this is what we think is going to happen, and do a lot of film work and do a lot of individual work with those guys to kind of give them like a mental clock, as you said. Like, we wanted him to have that mental clock, especially to our defensive ends when they were stunting, is we wanted to get them to set. So we did different footwork with them when we wanted them to stunt, just to get them to think about, okay, 1, 2, 3, cross their face, or 1, 2, 3, come up the field and come under. And our linebackers was a drop step. And, you know, again, that word patience was the key. So sometimes it's just how you language it to kids and the teaching of it all, and trying to create a mental clock for each of them. And, you know, again, we had it. The reason why it works is because of our corners. We were just very talented there, where we felt like, okay, we're good out there. So the quick stuff we were taking away with press coverage on the outside, and we felt the patient stunting would eventually, you know, work throughout the course of the game, because that quarterback's going to have to hold on to the football if our corners are holding up, and they did every game. And that allowed our defensive line really to get after the quarterback and be patient, knowing that the corners were going to do their job. And now, you know, and the safeties just kind of keep everything in front. And we had a bunch of different coverages off of it too, to disguise it. And we had a lot of interceptions because of D-line's pressure and the quarterback holding the ball because of the corner. So our safeties really kind of got rewarded for the corner play and the D-line play.
So if I'm hearing you right on those stunts, though, you feel key to the success really is to create the timing with footwork rather than letting that player have his own mental clock in his head, or maybe just sitting there and waiting. It's not necessarily always just the visual key, that you're going to calibrate that essentially with footwork.
No, yeah, it was a visual key off of the offensive line. So we wanted to come upfield, or if there was slide protection, we wanted to take them where they wanted to go, and then use our footwork and use our technique on the interior to try to draw guys out of the way. And so we were trying to get tackles to set. So, okay, when the tackle takes his second step, you guys are coming up. As soon as he takes the second step, cross face or whatever you're doing with it, we did it based on footwork of the offensive lineman. And that's how we gave him a mental clock, was we just watched film on the feet of the offensive lineman, and we said, okay, this is going to time up. And then when you do it that way in the middle of the game, if something's not working, a lot of times we said, okay, hey, you know what, it's happening too slow, just do it off this first step this time, or you know, so in the middle of the game, you can have all these in-game adjustments based on the footwork of the offense. So that was one of the things that we did really well in in-game adjustments when it didn't time up, because practice is practice and you have a scout team and you're trying to do it. And you know, you think you're going to do it this way and you always have to have an adjustment. So by doing it off the, you know, alignment's feet, it didn't give us, you know, it gave us a mental clock, but they weren't like counting. So they weren't playing slow. They were still playing fast upfield, and now we're basing it off of what they're doing. It's coming underneath or going outside or whatever we're doing with it. It just seemed to really time up when we did it that way, reading the offensive lineman's feet.
Coach, I appreciate you sharing that with us and sharing some of these ideas here today. I want to close with the question I always close with. As you look back on the 2018 state championship, what's the one thing you felt really gave your guys the winning edge?
Togetherness, chemistry. You know, it's a bond. It's not a scheme. It's not a blitz. It's not an offensive play or a return spark. It's the kids. We have 9 kids right now going to play college football. I think we'll end up with 12. And each of those 12 have every right to have an ego and to think about themselves as an individual over the team. And not one of them. We didn't have a single ego. They played together. They played for each other. It's a lot to manage as a coach when you have that, trying to make sure everybody's happy. But that's our job, is to get the team going in one direction and to help the individuals out when the time comes. And you know, our kids played for each other. It didn't matter who was getting the rewards. It just mattered at the end of the day what that scoreboard said. And our kids, you know, they just played for each other. They played together. And it was like the ultimate team when you look at it, because there's not one person that considered themselves above it. And I think when you get that, especially in high school or college too, you're going to have a lot of chance to have success because they're playing for each other.
Coach, I appreciate you being on the podcast again for our listeners. What's the best way for them to connect with you if they'd like to learn more about what you guys do?
They can email me. It's probably the best way. I'm always on email. That's john.marinelli@greenwichfootball.com. I'm happy to connect with anybody. You know, I've done some college visits, and we've hosted some high school staff as well. I'm happy to sit down with anybody that wants.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck to you and your team in 2019.
Awesome. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this, please be sure to shoot Coach Marinelli an email and let him know that you enjoy what he's doing and thank him for his time. If you love the podcast, please head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. Take a minute to write a review. It really helps what we're doing. Check us out on Twitter @FBDEVCoach. We have great content there daily. Links to our articles, our Your Call daily opportunity to show what you would do on offense and defense, or Learn From, where we pick a program each week and show some of their concepts. We have Play of the Day, Quote of the Day, and more. Check it out on Twitter @FBDEVCoach. And check out our systems for contact and tackling. Contact meaning blocking and defeating blocks, and tackling with our shoulder tackle system, which is free, and our advanced tackling system. Register with your email and get 3 free videos of your choice, either from the contact system or advanced tackling system. I promise it'll change the way you're looking at the game. Go to footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.